Good morning, brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, the last Sunday in Ordinary Time before the Feast of Christ the King. Every year in our liturgical cycle, we end the year with that feast. And it makes sense that Ordinary Time would be 33 weeks, 33 Sundays, because Jesus, of course, died at the age of 33. And after his death and resurrection, he was crowned King of Glory. And so we have that same presentation every year when we celebrate these feasts. So since this is technically the last Sunday of Ordinary Time before the end of the Catholic year, officially with Christ the King, the Church always gives us readings about the end times, always, since it's reflective in the end of this yearly cycle. So once again, we hear in the Gospel today, Jesus prophesying about what will happen at the end, and he begins by explaining to the people around him that the temple, this temple that they love, this glorious temple, to God's honor, one day it will be destroyed, and not a single stone will be left upon another stone. Of course, the people are concerned, they're worried, and they ask the Lord, what signs will happen before this comes to pass? It's an interesting question, because it presupposes the fact that God will always give you signs. So the Lord doesn't want to surprise us. He wants us to be prepared, but oftentimes we're not listening or we don't pay attention. But our Lord always gives signs, and he tells them exactly what the signs of the end times will be. He talks about many wars, about nations fighting nations. He also talks about various plagues and famines and earthquakes, and also mighty signs will be seen in the heavens. Again, we don't know exactly what that means. Christians love to speculate about the end times. Every generation thinks that it's their time. Every generation. This is one of the consistent themes. The longer you live and the more you pay attention to it. Every few years, oh, it's the end times. Look, wars, famines, plagues, earthquakes, these kind of things. And people always get it wrong, at least in part, because they don't understand how to interpret the scriptures. They don't understand the word of God. So in interpreting prophecy of this sort, there's two things you have to remember. There's three. There's three things you have to remember. There's the historical fulfillment, meaning the first time the prophecy is fulfilled. There are later historical fulfillments that are kind of repetitions of the original. And then there's the final culmination of the prophecy, meaning the last time it happens. So clearly, Jesus is prophesying the end of the world as we know it, when he will come again in his glory and judge the earth. But he's not just prophesying that final prophetic ending. He's also speaking about a very specific event, the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And that happened in 70 AD, 2,000 years ago. In fact, everything our Lord spoke of happened exactly as he said leading up to 70 AD and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. Everything. In fact, these same signs have happened many times throughout history whenever a particular nation would fall, whenever it would be the end of an era. And so it could be, yes, our country is in the end of an era, but right, we have to look for the signs. But Jesus gives us a very important point as a conclusion, if you will. He says, before the end will come, what will happen? They will persecute you because of my name. They will persecute you because of my name. So when disciples of Christ are being persecuted and even turned over by their own family members and some of them put to death because of their discipleship, because of their fidelity to Jesus Christ, that is the final conclusive sign. And you can look throughout the world, and in certain countries it's happening even now. Christians and Catholics are being persecuted. But it's not worldwide. So until the world is persecuting Catholics universally, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. So don't worry, it's not coming right now. But the end may come sooner for us individually. I might not be on this earth when Jesus returns at the end of time. But I still am going to meet him when I die, and that's the day of my judgment. So we need to be ready for that day. And Malachi gives us, from our first reading today, a very powerful image of what the day of judgment is like, whether that's the end of the world when Christ comes in glory, or whether I die and I go to his judgment. He says that the day is coming, the day of judgment, blazing like an oven. It's a powerful imagery. Blazing like an oven. When all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire. It's a terrifying image to think about. And he also says, but for you who fear my name, the name of the Lord, there will arise the sun of justice with its healing rays. You might be tempted to think that these are two different images, the blazing oven or the sun of justice, and you'd be mistaken. Because when Christ comes in his glory to judge the earth, or when I die and go before his throne of judgment, it's the same fire. It just affects us differently depending on our state of soul. Either the burning love of God will be a healing ray for me because I fear his name, or it will consume me like an oven because I am proud and an evildoer. The scriptures are full of this imagery of God like a burning fire, because that's how his love burns. But it's not a physical fire. It's not like the sun in the sky. Jesus, of course, created the sun to give light to the world, to be a symbol of himself, because he is, in fact, the light of the world. But he's not a physical light. He's a spiritual light. He's not a physical fire. He's a spiritual fire. So it's not the body that he burns. It is the soul he wants to set aflame. And he wants to set us on fire now with his love, so that when we go to our judgment, it's okay. We don't have to worry. We're already burning with love for him. And so the fire of his love will not consume us. It will not destroy us. It will not overwhelm us. But two things in particular prevent the fire of God's love from dwelling in us and purifying us. That's pride and evil deeds. And we know what will happen to the proud and the evildoers. The scripture tells us. They will be set on fire and will be burned up into stubble. Stubble is what's left over after you've burned wood. It's the ash. So how do we get ready to meet this burning fire? What do we do to prepare ourselves? Because most of us are proud in some way, and we do evil things, we sin. There is a way given to us by Jesus Christ himself to actually go before the judge, even now, here on earth, and admit to what we have done wrong. To confess our sins so that they can be forgiven before the judgment is passed. That's the great sacrament of confession. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, said to his apostles, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you hold bound are held bound. And for the last 2,000 years, Catholics have gone to their bishops and to their priests and confessed their sins before the judge. And in his mercy, he has washed them away. And this is a great act of humility, to admit to what you have done wrong, to go before the Lord, and to ask for forgiveness. Somebody who would do such a thing is not proud. In receiving the forgiveness of their sins, they are strengthened and healed by his grace, and now they have the ability to go out and do good deeds instead of evil deeds. People wonder why it's so hard to be virtuous, why it's so difficult to love their neighbor or their spouse, to do those things. It's because they don't go to confession, because they don't humble themselves and seek forgiveness. How can they love their neighbor when they haven't done what's right for themselves? The fathers of the church tell us when we go to confession, it's a way that we can approach our judgment before the end. And we take responsibility for what we have done. And when we do this, our Lord shows us mercy. That's precisely why he came and died on the cross, so that he doesn't have to judge us harshly. But when that judgment comes, there will be no mercy. The scriptures are very clear. When I die, or when the end comes, there is no time for mercy. And it will be the burning fire of God's love that will judge me. The Lord only knows how much time we may have. So we need to do our best to prepare ourselves in the manner in which Christ himself gave us. And so we pray for that grace, to humble ourselves, to confess our sins, to be forgiven, so that when the end comes and we stand before the fire of God's love, we need not fear. We will not be consumed. They will be healing rays. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.